Today's scripture comes from James 17 through 27. Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away at once and forgets what he is like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets about a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you today for this word from James. We live in a world that has so many possibilities, and yet we choose so many dark things. Speak through me and in spite of me today, so that we may hear your voice in spite of my own, so that we may hear your possibilities instead of these dark possibilities of the world. And I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the book of James because he really does cut right to the heart of what we would all like to say sometimes. Sometimes we would like to say, get your act together, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we like to tell people, quit being big babies? James was the brother of Jesus. And I want you to think about this. When Jesus first started his ministry, his brothers and sisters were not very happy with him. In fact, they were against what he was doing. They really did not think about him as the Savior. It took time for them to want to be part of what he was doing. Eventually, James does come around and he becomes one of the leaders of the church. So much so that he ends up settling arguments between Peter and Paul quite often. And you say to yourself now, arguments between Peter and Paul? How could that be? Well, you've got to remember what was happening at that time. Peter was following Jesus all over as one of the original 12 disciples. And as one of the original 12 disciples, he was going from place to place to place with Jesus. Yes, he was sticking his foot in his mouth quite a bit, but he sure did have a passion. And he wanted to follow Jesus Christ as best as he could. And he still had a passion after Jesus ascended into heaven. And remember, he was the one who delivered the first sermon on that Pentecost day. He was the one who was baptizing folks and bringing them into the fold, leading them. Well, you say to yourself, well, what's so wrong about that? Well, nothing's wrong with that. But he was living a very strict Hebrew life. And therefore, he thought that everybody who wanted to become a Christian needed to be living that strict Hebrew life. Well, okay. Paul, on the other hand, was going out. Now, remember, Paul was, before he was Paul, killing off Christians, not by his own hand, but he was holding the cloaks of those who were stoning Stephen, remember? Because he was living into the law. But he had a change of heart when he was made blind. And then he was leading Gentiles to become Christians. In other words, he was okay with people not living into the very letter of the Mosaic law to become a Christian, as long as they were repenting and coming into the fold and doing their best to live into becoming Christians. In other words, becoming doers. So when they had this big meeting in Jerusalem, they were arguing back and forth, and finally, James said, it's not about living into the Mosaic law. It's about what's in here and in your heart when you become a Christian. You're not supposed to be saying nasty things to each other. You're not supposed to be going to bed with hate in your heart. You're not supposed to be saying horrible things about each other behind each other's backs. You're supposed to be coming and loving each other. And because of your faith, you're supposed to be doing good works. You're not supposed to be doing good works and trying to earn merit to become a Christian. Well, here we are 2,000 years later, and we're back to saying nasty things about each other back and forth because of what some people might believe. Oh, it might not be necessarily about faith or Christianity, but it might be. Because we've become Christians who take our nationality a step further and make it about faith as well. I've watched that over the past month and a half, where I've seen leaders of faith go to different parts of either of the national platforms whether it be the Republican platform or the Democratic platform, show up and make it about faith instead of about political party. That, my friends, is not faith. That's politics. Faith is believing in God. Yes, we do live in a great nation. Hear me say that again. We live in a great nation. I have been to other countries. We live in a great nation. We live in a greater kingdom because we live in God's kingdom. And we serve God because we love God. Because of our faith. We serve God because we love God. And it does not matter. It does not matter how you got to the point of loving God. What matters is that you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Did you hear me clearly? What matters is that you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And I've been hearing so much lately, all these angry words, and I realize that we're going to hear a lot more anger in the next several months before November comes around. I'm not naive. But what would it look like if we did a lot more loving instead? What would it look like if we were doers of love instead? And you say, Pastor, what would that look like? How can we be doers of love? Well, first of all, there are opportunities to love. You can love by greeting somebody. Those are opportunities right here at the church. You can welcome somebody right here. There are all kinds of opportunities to welcome somebody as they are coming in or as they are leaving today. There are opportunities to love on some kids and help with children's church. There are opportunities to give to help take care of a child across the world named Sacho by buying some baked goods by donation today. There are opportunities to give by giving when we do our offering. There are opportunities to give by pledging. There are opportunities to give by just picking up the phone and saying, how are you today? I haven't heard from you lately, or I haven't seen you lately. Those are all doing. Remember, love is an action verb. Love is an action verb. Worship is an action verb. And that means you have to do to be able to accomplish what you are supposed to do. Smiling, smile, is an action. Maybe we don't even do that enough. Today we have an opportunity to live into the life of Christ in each other through Holy Communion. to be in the actual love of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the saints that have gone on before us. We believe in an open table here in the United Methodist Church, which means everybody's welcome. You're welcome today. You're welcome always. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for those who have gone on before us, like James, who fought for others to say that we are all welcome and all we have to do is believe in Jesus, to love and to do because of our love. Sometimes the rules seem so simple, Lord, and yet it's our hearts that get in the way. Help us to have hearts like children, to accept the simple joys and live into them. Be doers. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.